If you have something, that's fine. Okay, that's fine. All right. Let's just pray. Not just pray. Let's pray. We're gonna sing a song, that Skyly song. We don't have the words up there. I thought they were, but that's okay. But this song is called Vessel of Love, and Skyly wrote this song in collaboration with Nancy and myself. And but it talks about being a vessel. It talks about being a vessel of love, being willing to be used, being willing to be however God wants. And I love that the heart of this song is just to be not perfect, not anything, but just available to the Lord. And so... And I think that is the heart of a true worshiper. I think is just to be able to sit in a place of being willing to be whatever for the Lord. And so, in this time, as we worship, as we take these next few moments to lift up a shout of praise, that I just hope that our hearts would be in a place where we would just be so open to whatever the Lord has for us. So Lord, I just thank you that today you are here in this place. You are here in the midst, God. Lord, you said we're two or three gathered, Lord, and there's more than two or three here. And we thank you, Lord, that your presence is not determined by the amount of people in a room, by the amount of lights, by the amount of instruments, by the amount of followers, God, or anything like that. But your presence, Lord, is just here. And so that we even though you don't need an invitation, we continue to invite you. We continue to invite you to move. We continue to invite you to stir something up in us, to stir something up in our hearts, God. Stir us up, Jesus. Let your Holy Spirit stir us up. And we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, that you have something specific, Lord, for each and every one of us, Lord. You have something for us here that are leading worship. You have something for every person that is listening this morning, that will watch this or listen to this later. That you have something, Lord. So we thank you, God, for your faithfulness. We thank you, God, that we get to worship you, Lord, that we are in a free country that allows us to worship you. And we thank you, Jesus, that you're here. You're here in the midst of us, God. Show us your glory, God. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Show us your glory, God. Show us your glory. Sweet, sweet presence, God. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Of the goodness from his sense that I feel like we're supposed to pray for one another.
So you would just gather with somebody, whether it's just two of you or three of you or however you want to do it, but I just really feel like we're supposed to lift one another up right now in this time.
Thank you. Mercy has defeated all my shame. Isaiah 49:15-16 says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me." Some of it says, some translation says inscribed, some say written, some say engraved. I don't know why this scripture is so powerful to me, but there's an intimacy that comes from the palm of our hand instead of the back of our hand. There's an intimacy that comes in knowing he's inscribed, he's engraved, he's written my name and your name. That's how powerfully he feels about you. Just soak that in for a minute. Just receive that into your spirit, that you are so cherished, so loved, so longed for, that he would take the time to inscribe in his own palm your name. How powerful is that? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We're not in a hurry here. We're not about an agenda. We're not about making sure that we get everything in the hour and 15 minutes that we meet together. He took time. Can you take your time right now and just receive the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit deep within you? Just receive it right now. Father, we pray for every heart, God, that is hearing this, that their depth of who they are, that the power of you, God, would just fill the depth of who they are, that your deep would fulfill the deep in them, God. Jesus, just minister to every spirit right now. Hallelujah. Receive, hallelujah. Receive, my love. Jesus, we love you. Take a moment and say, hey.
Good morning. Good morning, good morning. It's so nice to be here, our little small and mighty group, right? Amen. So with that mightiness of us, I want us to stand up and get ready to just stand firm. Instead, I know some of us just sat down. If you can do it sitting down, I bless you, okay? But we're going to, together, we're going to make these declarations over our city and over the families here. And just really, with everything in us, I want us to, like, I know that we're small and there's not very many of us, but I want to sound like there's, like, thousands of us. So you just get as loud as you can, okay? Here we go. So on the count of three, right? One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things, and I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Amen, amen. Woo! You guys feel that? It's amazing. I just love that we can come together and make these declarations over our city, because I believe that it's impossible to be praying for these things and to be speaking these things out in declaration and not see anything change and not have anything happen. And I know that sometimes it takes time, but I believe that God is doing a mighty, mighty work, and good things are worth the wait, right? Amen.
Amen. Good job, babe. I think the only thing we have is giving. Thank you for giving, and I think we all know how that works, so bless our church with more and more in Jesus' name. I don't have a lot to say today. I just have a quick message, a quick thought, really. And it's about grace. I think grace is obviously something that we all need, and we all, I think, if we think about it long and hard, are very thankful that it is something that exists, that God's grace in our lives is evident, that he doesn't sit there and say, well, you messed up, so, you know, the old saying, you made your bed, now you may have to lie in it. You know, humans may operate that way, but God doesn't. Not to say there's not consequences for some decisions. However, his grace is never ending. And so I call this message the Great Compromise, because this word came to me this week, the Great Compromise. And the reason why I wanted to title it that was because if there's an area in our life that we cannot compromise, it has to be showing grace. If there's an area in our life that we're for sure going to be steadfast in and put our stake in the ground saying, I'm going to be an immovable object in this area, is our ability to continue to show grace. There are many people out there that need the love of God, that need God's grace to show up in their lives. And again, I'm so grateful that God did not leave me in my mess of being a mess of a person. He did not leave me in you know, my sinful state, but he instead called me you know, at 19 and said, I want you he not only called me, but I answered, and everything prior to that, he said, great, it's forgiven, now let's move forward. And I am grateful for that. So this word compromise, it means this: to accept standards that are lower than is desirable. There are many times in our life we compromise, and I'm not talking about sin necessarily. I'm talking about, but obviously we do compromise, but there are things, you know, we say, oh, I'm not going to eat sugar anymore. And then before we know it, there's donuts brought to the office or whatever. And well, today's my cheat day, right? And you know, there's just different areas. Right? We can all relate to that. You know, I'm not going to stay up late anymore. And before you know, it's midnight, and you're like, oh, whoa, so much for that. Or there's just areas that we compromise. And again, the area that I believe in area, there's many areas where we should not compromise. But the area we're talking about today is grace. I believe that two things. I believe that if we can understand the power of grace in our lives, then not only will we be able to shower people with the grace needed for their lives, but we as well will be able to have grace for ourselves. Because I think it's twofold. I think that we, as believers, try to move and operate in life as just doing it one way. Okay, I just need to love people. Got that. I need to show grace to people. Got that. I need to, you know, do these things. But then we forget, oh, that also needs to be applied to myself as well. Right? When Jesus was asked, what are the greatest commandments, right? And the second one, after loving the Lord with all your heart, he says, love your neighbor as yourself. And we forget that element of it when we operate as a believer, because we just think, if I just love people, I'm good. That's just a part of it, though, because you're included in that people, right? And so this all applies. So if I'm going to show grace to those around me, I need to be able to show grace to myself. Amen. So Romans 5:20 says this. This is in the New King James Version. It says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. And I love what it says in the Amplified. It says it like this. But the law came to increase and expand the awareness of the trespass by defining the unmasking sin. But where sin increased, God's remarkable gracious gift of grace, his unmerited favor, has surpassed it and increased all the more. Aren't you guys just so glad that we serve a gracious God? A God that no matter where our life takes us, no matter what decisions we make, no matter what thoughts we think, when we come to him with a repentant heart, when we come to him as a son and daughter, he doesn't just say, hey, that's okay, we all mess up. But he says, I still love you. I still love you, even though, right? I still love you. Right, I know I use my kids as examples a lot because that's just the season of life I'm in. But currently, our Tegan, our 1 year old, who is a mess of a human being, is just messy. And you know, he puts his hands in the toilet. He eats like an animal. You know, he's a mess. And how silly of it, you know, would it be of me as a dad to look at him and say, well, son, you know, you made a mess and, you know, you put your hand in the toilet and now we have toilet water all over the ground and all over you and all over me now. My love now is, I take that back, right? I cannot get behind a young man who is going to put his hand in the toilet, right? No, it'd be silly, right? And Jesus talks about this. He says, you being evil, if you can give good gifts, then how much greater, right, than the Father in heaven? And so I'm just so grateful that God pours out grace. This is how I simply define grace. Grace is being love where love is not deserved. And that's ultimately what the love of God, that the love that's poured out from God. It's a love that's not deserved. It's nothing we can work for. It's nothing that we can, you know, we can't attend the most services to get the most amount of love from God. We can't read the most Bible to get the most love from God. We can't, you know, do whatever, like any thought in our mind that says, well, if I do X, that will equal God's love is just works, and it's a lie, because you know, just as Jesus loved me as much on day one when I was 19 and gave my life to the Lord, he loved me just as much then as he does now, being now whatever 16, 17 years into it. He loves me just as much. So my favorite, one of my favorite stories in the Bible is a story in John 8, and it's the story of the woman caught in adultery. And I tried to steer away from it because I feel like I talk about it so much, but I just couldn't get away from it. And you know, the story essentially goes is Jesus is teaching, and then the Pharisees bring this woman who's caught in adultery. And, you know, some theologians think that she was literally brought from, like, another man's bed naked in front of Jesus, right? So, like, there's shame. If you just imagine the shame that she must have felt, and that not only was she caught, but now here she is standing in public, you know, naked in front of Jesus, and these guys are saying, hey, let's stone her, right? And Jesus does some interesting stuff, you know. He doesn't address some as much at first. He begins writing in the sand, and we don't know what he's writing, but he's writing something. And then, you know, he says, you know, for you, the one that who's not sinned, throw the first stone. So go ahead. You guys want to do that? Great. If you, basically saying, I want the perfect ones to cap, you know, if you are going to stone her for being imperfect, then the perfect one, stone her. Let's do that. Right. And this is the end of that story, because they begin to walk away. And he says at this, those who heard begin to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. And it says this in verse 10, Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. God has instilled a grace inside all of us. When we said yes to Jesus, we got access to everything that Jesus has. It says we're the light of the world. Jesus was light. When I received Jesus, I then become light. I then become grace. I then become joy. I then become all the things that Jesus is. Now, do I operate in all those things? Absolutely not. Okay. I'm a dad of four kids. Grace is not a strong suit of mine. Okay. But nonetheless, I have access to it, right? What was Jesus saying? He wasn't saying, I'm okay with your life of sin. That's why I did what I did, so you can get out of this. He wasn't saying that at all. What he was doing, and he was operating in grace. Do you actually know that Jesus didn't ever teach on grace? He actually didn't teach on grace. He was grace. He lived it. There wasn't a sermon where Jesus said, hey, let me teach you how to be graceful. You can't find that. But you see it in action through his life. You see it in action, right? And so God has instilled a grace inside of all of us. So the question is, do we access the grace? Do we access the grace? That's the tricky part. When I lived in California, I worked at this motel called Super 8. And I met a lot of interesting people, a lot of interesting experiences there. And I worked the front desk. People would come, and I would check them in, and I'd check them out, and do the whole thing. And one morning, we mostly dealt with like debit transactions, and we had some cash, but not a lot of cash. And when we did have cash, we didn't have like all the bills to like if somebody wanted to make change. And so one morning, an old gentleman came up to me and he said, hey, I have this 20. Can you break it? And I legitimately did not have the bills to break the 20. And I told him that. I said, I can't break this 20. And he didn't believe me. And he said, you're not going to break this 20 for me. And I in my mind, I was like, what do you want me to do? I'm going to like take it out and like show you what I have. I can't break this 20, right? And as I'm trying to explain myself to him, he walks away and he begins to murmur to his friends that were in there and talk about the front desk guy who won't break his 20. Now, the quickest way, like we all have triggers, right? Can we all admit that we have triggers? We have red buttons. We have things that when it happens, it's 1 to 100 really quick. One of my biggest ones is my integrity being questioned. Like I intentionally try to live a life that is integrous, that the second anybody questions my integrity, I will fight you. Okay. It's not really, but I did. I wanted to like prove to this old man, like what? Like I can't break this 20. And so I was a little bit triggered. I was upset and I just was like, oh my, like, wow. And he's not even letting me explain. He's just walking away and he's talking about me in front of me. He's dissing me. Yes. And so I I decided, the old saying, kill him with kindness. And in my mind, I said, I'm going to massacre this man in kindness. I'm going to murder him in kindness. And we had a convenience store across the street from the motel. And we'd have to run over there occasionally to get, like, if we ran out of milk or if we ran out of something, we'd go over there or if we need to change. So I wasn't supposed to leave the front desk, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to take what I have here. I'm going to run over there, cross the street, break this 20 that I have. And I did that. And I came back and he's sitting there. Right. And he's probably forgotten about it. Right. But I go up to him and I tap him on the shoulder and he's like, yeah. And I was like, did you need me to break that 20 still? And he was surprised. And I broke the 20 and I had change and I gave him, did the transaction and I murdered him with kindness. Right. It was grace. But it's grace, right? The question isn't is there grace for us, or do we have the ability to show grace, but are we going to access that grace? How many opportunities do we get on a daily, on a weekly, whatever, where we have the opportunity to show grace to somebody? Now, when I say grace, I'm not saying we make excuses for people, because there's a fine line. And I think that we can sometimes bleed into that a little bit when we're like, oh, I'm just having grace for them because, you know, their decisions and whatnot, right? You know, the story of Jesus with the woman of adultery, right? Some people can read that and say, oh, well, he was just, you know, like making excuses for her to like get out of that. It's like, no, he was showing grace. There's a difference. There's a difference between I am making excuses for you and allowing you to live this lifestyle, and I actually just have a love inside of me that's showing you grace, right? And so expectancy, yeah, but we are the salt and the light. This is what it says in Matthew 5:13. It says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill, cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So, can we be salt and light without grace? I don't think so. I don't think actually we're able to operate as salt of the earth and light of the earth without grace. I don't think so. But when we partner with Jesus, showing grace becomes doable, because we've all had instances where we don't want to show grace, or it's really hard to show grace, right? We've all probably been in moments, right? Friday, I was driving down to the Tri-Cities. So me and Pastor went to a men's conference this weekend. And I'll just say, since I've been back from living in a city to living in Yakima, I've realized that Yakima drivers are the worst. The worst. The type of people that don't get over when I'm trying to merge, right? The type of people that will drive, and please, if you do this, just, I have grace for you, but stop doing it. They're driving in the passing lane going slower than they should be going. Like, not even like I'm trying to speed. I'm trying to go the speed limit, and you are keeping me. You are keeping me from going the speed limit, right? And so, I don't even know why I brought that up. Oh, because grace. Because we've been in moments where I had a moment on Friday where I was talking on the phone with a friend, and I kept interrupting myself as I was talking because I could not believe how long I'd been behind this car in the passing lane, not going the speed limit. And I was just like, what is this car doing? Like, why are you here? Why are you not? Like, I don't understand what you're thinking, right? So we've all had moments where we need to access that grace. And so without Jesus, it becomes very hard though to show grace. It becomes doable when you partner with him. It says this in John 1:17, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. So where do grace and truth come? They come through Jesus Christ, right? And this is why it's important that we have the love of Jesus inside of us. Because if we don't, then we're operating out of something else. And there's a difference between just being a nice person and being a person that has the love of Jesus inside of you, right? They're two different things. When I was a young kid, I was about 10, 11 years old. We lived off of Mead in these duplexes, and these duplexes were set up. There was like one set of duplexes here, and then another set here, and then in the middle ground there was this grassy area, and it had like a swing set and a basketball hoop and whatever. And there was a lot of kids that lived in this area, so we're out there hanging out. My sister, who's about 5 at the time, about Lily's age, was hanging out with us, and we're about to go home. So my sister goes ahead of me. And she's wearing, I give her my sweater. She has a hoodie sweater on. That's mine. And she walks back just a little bit ahead of me. And I say bye to my friends. And she had gotten enough ahead of me that there was a good amount of space between us. Well, there was this other group of kids in our little community there that weren't so nice. They just were rough kids. And we had run-ins with them all the time. Well, as I'm walking back and my sister's ahead of me, I see one of those kids has his hand on the hoodie part, the hood of the hoodie, and he's spinning my sister around. Okay. She's little, she's 5 or 6, right? And he's just spinning her around. Right. And he's probably 7, you know, I'm 11. Right. So whatever. And without even a thought, okay. Without even a thought, I run full force. And I tackle him. I just tackle him to the ground. Like, just didn't even give a thought. Wasn't even thought about it. Wouldn't apologize about it. You know, he's laid there. He kind of like whimpered a little bit. Said, I'm going to tell your mom. I said, go for it. I'll tackle her too. No, I didn't say that. But I there was this thing in me, right? When we have Jesus, it becomes possible to show grace, right? The thing that we forget to do sometimes, and if you're in a moment where you're like, I'm really struggling to show grace to these people, or I'm struggling to show grace to myself in this moment, I would then question, what am I partnering with Jesus in there? Because what it says in John 1:17, grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. So that means if I truly have grace, if I truly have Jesus in this moment right now, while I'm trying to show grace to this person, it will come because I have him with me, right? Because when I have him, it becomes doable. Just like when my sister has her big brother, it becomes doable for her to be safe, right? It becomes doable for her to walk through and not be bullied by this kid anymore. And he didn't mess with her anymore after that, right? It becomes doable. But when we recognize that grace and truth come through Jesus Christ, okay, when we have Jesus in our corner, grace becomes easier. Notice I'm not saying grace becomes easy. It's still going to be hard sometimes, but it becomes easier. Right? And I'm preaching to the choir here, you guys. The X factor, the thing that's going to allow us to do this thing with success is operating with Jesus in it. So I want to pray. I know we took some moments to pray for one another earlier, but I want to end today with just us praying for two different things. And the first one is praying for those who need grace for others. Even as I'm talking, you might have been thinking like, "Oh, being that person, I want to tackle like Aaron." You know, I'm just kidding. But you know, like you're thinking like that person, I don't have grace for. That person cannot run. You know, I heard a sermon years ago, and I'm trying to remember how he worded it. But essentially, he was talking about offense, but I think it still applies here. But he was saying the barometer for me knowing if I have an offense with somebody is knowing, can they run through my mind freely? Like, and I envision like them literally running through my mind freely without stopping. So they just run through. There's no like, whoa, hold on, that thing that you know, right? So I would say, and the same applies here. Can that person or that moment or that instance that I need grace for, can it run through my mind without stopping, or is there a stop there? And so if that's you, I want us to pray for you. Is there anybody who needs prayer for grace for others? Or for a certain instance or situation. If that's you, can you just raise your hand and we're going to pray? Okay. The second one is this. I want to pray for people who need grace for themselves. Again, I don't see how it's possible to give something away that we don't carry. I don't see how it's possible. Right? If I want to impart something into those around me, I better be carrying it first. If I want to impart, you know, a love for Jesus, a love for the word, a love for prayer for my kids, I want to impart that to the generations that are following in my legacy. I want to impart that into our congregation, into our youth nights on Monday. Like, I better be carrying that, right? And so if grace is something that we want to be the light and salt of the earth with, then we need to make sure we're carrying grace for ourselves, right? And I believe that this is something that that we need to go after. So, is there anybody here that wants prayer to have grace for themselves? Okay. Nice pants. Well, why don't you come up here and we're going to pray for you. And if anybody else, just join her up here and we're just going to pray. All right. Well, just extend your hands to Nance. And if you need prayer again, just come up. Prayer for grace for yourself. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you are grace. And we just thank you right now for your daughter. We just pray right now that she would have grace. She would have grace for herself in this season of life that she's in as a mom of four, as a teacher and tutor to her children. Lord, as a teacher and a pastor to youth students, Lord, as a wife, as a mom, as a sister in Christ, as a friend. Lord, that right now you would just shower her with grace. We just declare, Lord, an impartation right now of a grace for herself. And that in those moments where she's feeling less than, or she's feeling like she should have done this, but instead did that, and she didn't get this done, but instead got that done, or didn't get anything done, or whatever the thing is, Lord, that you would just remind her of the grace that you have for her. Yes. Yeah. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. I want us to sing this song and declare it over ourselves. I'm your beloved. Caden, can you put that slide up? All right, just sing it with me, church. Sing, I am your beloved. You have bought me with your blood. And on your hand you've written out my name. And I am your beloved, one the Father loves. Your mercy has defeated all my shame. Sing, I'm your beloved. And I am your beloved. Buy me with your blood. And on your hand you've written out my name. And I am your beloved, one the Father loves. Your mercy has defeated all my shame. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that your mercy has defeated all of my shame. Your mercy and your grace and your love. God, and I just pray right now, Lord, that we would walk out, Lord, in this love that you have for us, God. Lord, that the grace, Lord, would you just shower us with grace, Lord, and that we would be drenched in that, God. We would be drenched in your grace, Father. God, I thank you that there is nothing that we've done, there is nothing that we will do, or our motivations, or any of that, God, Lord, that will take away your grace and your mercy. God, I just pray for your sons and your daughters right now, God, anyone that could hear my voice right now, Lord, that they would just have an encounter with you right now, Jesus. Lord, that this grace thing would not just be head knowledge, Lord, but it would be in our hearts, God. It would permeate in our hearts, God. It would pierce our hearts. That we would have grace for those around us. We would have grace for ourselves, God. We would have grace when we make mistakes. We would not say things like, I'm so dumb, or I'm so whatever, I'm so stupid, or why did I do that? But we would instead step in to the grace that you have for us, God. Not so we can live a life of mess or a life of sin, but Lord, so we could operate as a son, so we could operate as a daughter. God, I thank you that you are so good. I thank you, God, that you've taken each and every one of us, Lord, through a journey, Lord, and you've taken us, Lord, out of our mess, Lord. You've taken us out of the things that we used to do, the ways that we used to think, God, the way we used to see the world, the way we used to see people, God, and you've transformed us, Lord. And God, I pray for opportunities this week for everyone, every one of us, including myself, opportunities, Lord, to show grace, to be grace in people's lives, God. God, I pray right now, I declare opportunities over our lives. And I just thank you so much, Lord. I thank you for this house. I thank you for what you're doing here, Lord. Lord, I pray for those who couldn't be here today, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would, that although they weren't here with us, Lord, that their spirit right now, Lord, is still getting something from you. Yeah. Lord, I thank you for all these things, and all God's people said, amen. In Jesus' name, I love you guys. Have a great week. Go Jesus. Still getting something from you. In Jesus' name, I love you guys.